Good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, Robert Sharple.
Hey, how welcome. Welcome. How is everybody? Who's on?
Rob Roy, Bob, Claudia, Sean, and Michael.
Oh, wonderful. So, let's start with what's on your mind.
I can, Sean, did you have something you wanted to kick off with?
Yeah, I would say, Rob, from our, just to give you an update from our last call, we talked about establishing a mission statement, and you gave us that challenge.
Yeah.
I think we had shared with you last call that we had just got, this is the, I think the day before our call with you, we sat down with Bev Jones, who's been a longtime client and friend of Rob's, and you know, going through personality pieces. We did Myers Briggs studies, and you know, just looking at you know the team as a whole, the individual characteristics of the team. So we have not gotten that mission statement done, but I did want to give you just an update that we are working on that, and we're using you know a coach to aid us in terms of bringing the team's message, you know, internally first so that we can deliver that to the clients and to our COIs.
So where are you on that process there?
I would say, Rob, that what we've been doing is articulating what we want the values of the mission statement to encompass.
Okay,
so
that's great.
A lot of the work that we've done with you, like the things that we've come up with so far are just like one word, just things that we think about, and so one of them is service, that we recognize that our success is directly proportional to the level of service that we deliver to our clients and that their success is, in fact, our success. I think that the other word that we've used is you can't decide if we like generous or giving, because we've all talked about the fact that we want the practice to change lives and to do things for people, so we've embarked on a few little kind of charity things ourselves, but then we're talking about things that giving is much deeper and broader than just stroking some checks now and again and doing that. So one of the things Claudia and Mike were helping me with is with this whole health thing and this fit thing has really been a game changer for me. So we've got this concept that we're going to get fit that for everybody in the wealth division that wants to participate with us. And we're going to do a kickoff thing and basically say, look, guys, we recognize that we're all a team. And that a team is only ever going to be as successful as the person who has the least amount of energy, who enjoys coming to work the least, and who is kind of the least fulfilled. So what we want to do is we want to move everybody's energy, happiness, fulfillment, engagement levels up as much as we can. Historically, this is a job that everybody sees as management's job. We disagree with that. We think it's all of our jobs to take care of each other. So those are the kinds of pieces that we're putting in. I think Claudia and Sean have some really good ideas about, how we look at the business from the standpoint of, you know, having the other thing that we want to put in that I think encompasses both service and what you've taught us is service and giving, all these things are great. If you don't have discipline, structure, and those things, then who cares? Because it ain't going to happen.
Yep. And I like the term rituals. For discipline, because discipline is a limited quantity. You can have as many rituals as you need.
That's a great point. I like that.
Okay.
Sean and Claudia, what are some of the things that you guys have, that you think that, you know, are in there that we would want to make sure that we encompass of all the kind of different things we email around and throw around and chat around about staying up in the offices?
Michael, you sent an email Friday, didn't you?
I'm sorry. An email on Friday? I'm fighting a little bit of a cold. I apologize.
Oh, we were circling around some of the mission statement pieces. You could send something on Friday.
Oh, yeah. I was just throwing something at a wall, so I don't want you to put too much into this, but I was just kind of building off of what Rob Knapp and his team had put together. And I had suggested that we're not necessarily in a position where we have explored everywhere and we're providing the map to them, but maybe we're that middle section. So first, we understand ultimately what the client's vision is, and we make sure that when they ultimately get to their destination, that it is what they've envisioned it to be. It's not, you know, anything but what they've ultimately envisioned it to be, and then also helping guide them through that that unknown in the middle, so that they can get there in the most efficient way possible. I was kind of throwing some things around around that.
So how do those strike you, Rob? I mean, are we on the right track?
Well, I think what is important, why don't you do the exercise that I suggested, which was everybody write down separately in a room, though, all together, get in a room, all right, and everybody gets a yellow pad out, and everybody writes down their personal core values. Okay?
All right.
And then what you do, and you can even, you can say, you know, these core values should incorporate your work life, okay? Because the work life
right.
is an important part of your overall life, but it should also incorporate the rest of your life. All right?
Exactly.
So,
it's in. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
I was going to say, it is an important part, but we want to stay focused on the fact that it is a part and not, it is not all of it.
Not all of it, right. Right. So you have, you know, your family values as well as, you know, your personal health and fitness and family values as well as your business, educational and other things that are important to you. And each person is going to be different. And that's the good thing. Don't try and make it so, you see, what you guys are trying to do is come up with a common set of core values before you find out what everybody's individual values are.
Makes sense.
So, yeah. So get all the individual values down and then get up there on a flip chart or a switchboard and just ask people what their values are. What are your top five values? Okay? And just write them down.
Gotcha.
And when you get more than one of one particular value, you just add a slash mark. So in the end, you're going to visually see what your values are as a team, all on one piece of paper. And then you're going to see which ones you have in common. Okay?
Yep. Exactly. Good.
Very similar to the game we played with John Wick last month, I think, was it?
Yeah, it is.
John Wick.
He's an internal guy.
Oh, no. Not you, John Wick.
No, this guy's just the antithesis. This John Wick can be found wandering around Richmond from time to time in a seersucker suit and a bow tie. So very much not John Wick.
My favorite guy. The John Wick. Okay. So then you come together as a group and say, okay, what are our top five or six values as a team? Okay, which ones? And you can have seven of them. It's okay, you know. But the idea is to incorporate the team's value where everybody agrees that these are the most important values for us as a team. Okay? Then you can start writing out how you might, as a mission, which is more than a vision, it's different. A vision is like, where are we going to be 5 years from now? A purpose statement is, is like two sentences. If we weren't on the earth, what would be missing? You know, what do we do? What do we do for people? Okay? But a mission statement incorporates your values, but it has to be short enough that you can remember it.
Gotcha.
So what you want to do then is have each person try writing it out on their own. Just like, was it Michael who, you know, just wrote it up. All right, so you just want each person to try writing it out using the values that you have in there. And you're going to start out with, like, five sentences. You know, then you want to cut it down to four, and then to three, and then maybe you can do it in two sentences. So it's an interesting exercise, and don't worry about getting it wrong. There is no wrong, okay?
Gotcha.
And it's never going to be perfect, but it's going to be something that you enjoy, and it should change everybody a little bit. Meaning it should really help everybody to understand who you guys are and why this is more important than just you. It's more important than the money. It's more important than the work. You're there to change the world.
Right. So, you know, one thing, Rob, let me just run something by you, a conversation that Sean and I had, and I liked where Sean was headed with this. And, but it threw a little bit of a roadblock up for me, and I haven't spent the time to come back to it to really adequately address it. But it was what I said to Sean one time is that I said, I'd like to think, and I was thinking about myself personally now, so I said, I would like to think that I can change the world by having, you know, by impacting the lives of the clients that we work with. If I help them to achieve their greatest aspirations in life, then somehow I've had an impact. I've participated in that impact. So that to the degree that they change the world, I feel like I help participate in that in a meaningful way. And so Sean and I went back and he said, the only problem I have, Rob, with change the world is that it sounds a little grandiose and it sounds a little overwhelming. And he said, I'm concerned that you personally will turn that into a, and Sean, stop me if I change and this isn't accurate, is that you will turn that into something that will become such a hurdle for you and such a high standard that you're going to put yourself in these positions where you do, where you can only ever evaluate your performance as a failure.
Oh, no, don't worry about that. No, stop. That's not good. Guys, it's a world of abundance. It's not a world of scarcity. Okay?
Yeah, and Rob, what I had actually shifted in saying, as opposed to saying that you're changing some, that you're changing the world, is that you are changing someone's world or changing the perception of someone's world.
Gotcha.
So I looked at it from the standpoint of I looked at it from the standpoint of, you know, Rob's impact that he's had on my life, you know, before I met my wife, had my kids, has been profound. You know, I look at it from the standpoint of, you know, right now my wife Erin works with, you know, at-risk kids in the Baltimore area. And we as a family now have the ability to change this person's world by, you know, potentially helping her out with college, you know, or something where she didn't have that family structure. So the fact that I was saying that you can't change the world, but I was just saying it more at a local level of changing someone's world as opposed to using this whole global kind of mentality or grandiose type of phrase.
Right, and I mean, you're not a not-for-profit. I mean, you know, you're a for-profit company, but you can change lives and make them better and have them achieve things that they never thought possible, and then they can change the world. I mean, a perfect example is you going on a personal mission to help each person find their personal mission. Right? So as their coach, your job, theoretically, would be to have them become wealthy enough, secure enough, the Maslow's hierarchy of needs. You've helped them get past survival, get past food and shelter. Now they're in self-actualization. And for each person, what does self-actualization look like? If you had all the money in the world, what would you do with it? I mean, Bill Gates, he's curing problems, educational problems, and health problems all over the world. And he says it's great financially can do it. Well, each one of us, in our small way, and some in a bigger way, because they've been more successful, can turn that success into an opportunity to change the world, to make the world a better place. And a perfect example would be if you could get every client to either do a community foundation or a personal family foundation and fund it with enough money that their family would leave a legacy forever, right? Of their, not just a temporary solution, but a permanent improvement in the world, which is really incredible. And so to me, if I were in business today, my goal would be to get every family to determine what their passion was and then fund it with a family foundation and then make it come true. Okay, I mean, that's very specific. It's not a mission statement, but that would be, if I were you guys, and I've seen what I've been able to do with my family foundation and what a combination of 100 people's family foundations could do would be unbelievable. But you got to find out what their passion is. Is it at-risk kids? If it's at-risk kids, I mean, what a blessing that is. My God, change the world. Change each kid, one at a time. Beautiful. Well, I think you're on to it. I think you're close. It's just, it's fun. It's a fun exercise, though, isn't it?
It is. What it really gets to, what I told the team is that what I really see this evolution, if I could recap it in a single kind of concept, is that we have built our practice substantially on our expertise around the what and the how, being tactically very good at what we do. So I think that the thing that we do now, and I think the thing that we do now that really transforms us and that is transformational, is now we say, now we're going to become experts in the why. To be able to say to a client like you, Rob, initially when we met you, we told you we were going to do three things. We're going to maintain your lifestyle, we're going to preserve your net worth, and we were going to assure your legacy. The first two are very much what and how. How do we define those, and how are we going to make that happen? Thanks to your hard work and our hard work, we've done that. Now what we get to do is the really exciting, transformational, life-changing thing to talk about why did we do all this? For the sake of what did you go through this exercise? And that's what we really want to start to talk about now, because very honestly, we have very successfully secured most of those two items. I feel really very strong about where we're at there, strong enough, in fact, to really turn my attention and your attention to these bigger issues.
I think it's – now think about when you're prospecting, how much more exciting is that than just bringing in assets? Having a person find their life mission and you help them do that, holy crap, that's wonderful.
you know what else that is, Rob? That is the perfect, perfect filter for us of whether or not you make sense and you're a fit for this practice or not. If you say, I don't give a shit about that, that's nonsense, that's hocus pocus, screw that. I want the most money I can get, and I want it now. All right. Thanks for your time today. It's been great to meet you. I wish you nothing but the best, and good luck. If we can ever help you in any way, don't hesitate to call. Thanks for the coffee.
Thank you. All right, so you're right. You're right. You can't, a person, you know, anyway, so think about that. I think that helping your clients find their life mission, I mean, I think that's very powerful, by the way. Okay? And I think it's really good. You might want to think about that as kind of what you're really talking about here, right?
Exactly. How do I make your life mission? Yeah.
By the way, that could be your mission statement, okay? And I'm only using it as an example. But if your mission statement for your team was to help your clients find their life mission, that would incorporate so many values without saying them. And it's a half a sentence, right? It's a teeny little sentence. But it says so much. It says so much about who you are and who you think they are. It incorporates sharing, helping, fulfilling, guiding, all the things that you I wrote down for your service, rituals, it's all there. And that's what I mean. You don't have to use the words when you're talking about what your mission is. It can be as simple as helping your clients find their life mission. All right, so, and you can, you know, through financial profiling and all that. But you want your mission to be something that people can say really fast, really easily, and everybody in the team can remember it. So what's our mission at Supernova now, okay? Our mission is simple, to improve the client experience worldwide. Okay? And I think we're doing it. I think we're changing the world, which is a blast. And, you know, you don't have to have everything in, you know, what did I say in that? To improve the client experience worldwide. That doesn't say an awful lot in terms of, a lot of people would, you know, Amazon could be doing that. But it incorporates everything that I, you know, when I get confused, I go back to my other mission statement. Was to boldly go where no person's gone before and joyfully share the map. That one, that's my personal mission statement, and that one protects me from hoarding ideas or not sharing, not giving. So you can have a personal mission statement as well as a team mission statement, and that's okay.
That's good. I like that. It changes my thinking a little bit on this. I think that what I hear that you're doing in these is that what you're really doing is you're painting a very broad word picture that then allows the client to fill it in with whatever their vision of their life is. We haven't put enough words in there to kind of narrow it, to restrain it, or to do any of those things. And I think the challenge then, and not even the challenge, but the next step is that when you say that to a client, a really great, to me, I want to work on this because I'm just thinking this off the top of my head, is a follow-on question would be to say to you, you know, Rob, when I talk to you about changing the, you know, helping clients to, you know, whatever it is you said, you know, live out their passion or make their passion reality, whatever that is, I noticed that you got a little bit of a smile on your face. Tell me a little bit about what that picture looked like. What did you see in that moment?
It's really, really good.
Yeah, it's really, it's so powerful. It's so much different than performance or the stock market or anything to do with that. I mean, to me, we're about to have the biggest explosion we've ever had in the equities market. And people are not going to be ready for it. Because they're going to create wealth. If you have wealth now, you're going to create enormous amounts of wealth. Double, triple, quadruple your money. And then what are you going to do with it? You know, it's going to be almost embarrassing in the sense, if you don't have a mission and if you don't have a purpose, and you're really not out there changing the world, all that newfound money is just going to be money. You know, you can only buy so many boats and cars and trucks, and compared to changing one person's life and making it better, that other stuff is just stuff. So I think you're onto it. And I think this is going to be one of the most important things that happens. And those that are ready for it and have this kind of preparation are going to inherit the earth. Truly. I think you guys will gather money like crazy. Because this is what gives people joy. Joy comes from giving. There's nothing else in life that gives people as much joy as giving and helping. But to be able to do it in an effective way, in a personal way, is really important. I mean, it makes me want to go back with my family and rethink after almost 20 years of our foundation, do we need to go back and think some more about what our foundation is truly committed to doing? You know, and is it giving everybody in the family the satisfaction it should? That's the part that's great. When your kids are 40, you know, and you have grandkids, and you can see the legacy, and watch your kids get on boards and things with the money that you're able to give, and see them changing lives, it's really kind of cool. Especially if, you know, like my kids aren't in a position to be able to have done this themselves. And yet they will enjoy it and learn from it and participate.
You know, that's one of the things that I say to Sean, Claudia, and Michael with kids is that I think that this issue of concentration of wealth is going to do nothing to get more and more pronounced. As we see automation take a bigger and bigger role and more of the low-paying jobs go away, I think that they are in both a unique but a position that brings a lot of responsibility with it, and that I think that my generation, their generation, lumping those all together, this may be the last chance that guys like Sean and I are going to come from, you know, my dad worked at Sears and Roebuck, and his dad was a plumber, to say, you know, we can have the ability to earn the kind of incomes we can and amass what we can amass. And same with Michael and Claudia. I don't know that happens in the next couple generations.
I think they will. I think making money is going to not be that hard. I think it's going to get easier to make lots of money, but you're going to have capital to do it. And the people that have no money and are working, exchanging hours for dollars, are never going to feel or know what it is that's happening. It's going to happen around them, but it's not going to happen to them. And so, you know, it's look at what's happened in the last 8 years. The people that exchange dollars for hours have made nothing, and the people that have owned equities have amassed a fortune. Okay? And everything that's happening in Silicon Valley and technology and all that is making instant millionaires and billionaires, and giving those people the ability to manage that money effectively for society's betterment is going to be critical. It's going to be really critical, and it doesn't mean that we need BlackRock to tell us, you know, how to manage the money for socially better purposes. We can do that through charitable giving, charitable foundations, and focusing that. But I think as a financial planning team, this is a really important thing, so people don't feel guilty about their wealth.
Exactly.
Okay. And it's fun being on this journey with you, Rob, because, you know, you came kind of full circle from the let's have one of everything to that didn't give me much fun.
Exactly. I read a great book the other day. I was reading this book, and this guy says, you know you have a problem, and I knew I had a problem when I used to say stupid things like, what colors does this come in? Great, I'll take them all.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. And changing your car because you don't like the color. You know. Some people just, you know, I think it's wonderful that people have lots of toys and things, but I hope they're not known for that. I'd rather have them be known for their charitable giving, like Bill Gates. I think what Bill Gates has done is set the bar for everybody else to follow.
He got Warren Buffett to follow his bar. That's the thing.
Right. That's exactly right. And I think that you and your team can market this, okay? As the answer to why people feel empty. I've made it. I'm at the top of the peak. I feel empty. And what about the kids that did, you know, my children who are exchanging dollars for hours and will never have the kind of money that I have except when I give it to them, right? So
right.
They could very easily not get the sense of gratification that you and I have. You know, when life hasn't been as good to you, you don't feel as grateful. And through this foundation, you can teach them gratitude. You can teach them the values. Even though they didn't start with the money, they can still have the same values. And I think that's really important for your clients.
Absolutely, because, you know, one of the great lessons I learned from Nick Espy, my favorite client of all time, is that your kids participated in the creation of that wealth by making sacrifices like you were on the road all the time. You weren't at every single little league game. You know, everybody in the family gave up a little something to create that wealth.
No, that's right. It's a good point. But to just give them the money does nothing, right? That's the
obligation. Exactly.
They ruin it. They feel guilty. Either that or they hoard it. They don't know what to do with it. And so teaching them all the way along how to be a giving person and how to feel grateful and maintain the family values is really important. And I like that, by the way, that everybody gave up something to create this wealth. I think that's beautiful. All right, what else?
I have more to think about and do than I can possibly do in the next month, so I'm done.
what I'll
add to this, Rob, is this is all great to talk about, you know, how we can, you know, have these conversations with our clients. But to give you an update on, you know, again, after the last year and a half, or, you know, almost 2 years focusing in on the service model M1242 to, I think, show the impact and the powerful process that this has instituted in our practice. It really has been showing in our numbers. Last year, management came to us and said, "Look, you know, you guys only added, you know, one or two new clients. What's going on?" And we again told them, you know, after 2015, we took a step back in production, went down about, you know, 15%. Last year, we came up about 21-22%, Claudia.
Yeah.
And over the first 2 months of this year, January and February, Rob, our production, from January of 17 to 18, February of 17 to 18 has gone up 35 and 38%, those 2 months respectively. And we have, again, not added any new clients. The book is now running at a 90%, trail. We're doing some ancillary business that is continuing to increase that. But over the course of the last, you know, 18 months, it's been blocking and tackling, having conversations, meaningful conversations with clients who have been adding to our practice, and that has proved to be extremely accretive and rewarding. And I think we're actually now in the process, you know, as Rob said earlier, of making sure we're working with the right people. We're identifying probably 4 to 5 that don't fit the ultimate mission statement that we're going to have in the practice, and we're going to find an advisor who could better serve their needs. But continuing to run a much tighter practice, continuing to stick with the process and the service model, and I think when you look at that, we're all happier and can be in a position to where we can engage in these types of conversations, you know, not only within ourselves, but with clients to make a more deeper impact.
Let me add one thing, though, Rob. The other place you have a lot of work to do in your world is that when Sean sat down and went over these numbers with our local management team, they literally almost looked at him and said, you know, you guys might be onto something. This might actually work. Is that a fair assessment of his reaction, Sean?
Well, yeah, now since he's asking me to teach, you know, 7 or 8 other advisors what we're doing.
Yeah, exactly. At first was, what the hell are you boys doing? And then he's like, hey, Sean, you think you can teach anybody else how to do this?
Jesus. Well, listen, guys, then we should, you know, we should get them to bring me in and do a kickoff and share with you guys.
That's
get up and
idea.
Share what we're doing. I mean, why the hell not? If your mission is to improve the client experience worldwide and your mission is to share and help and coach too. I mean, Sean, it's nice to have
What's
you do
cost,
it,
Rob?
But it cost $10,000 to have me come in, okay, plus expenses. And then, but, you know, we'll sign up 5 teams, which is great. We'll change 5 teams' lives, and every team has, what, couple hundred clients. It just changes the world.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Okay?
Plus, Sean will keep you from getting one more job.
Yeah, I don't want you training. I don't want you training 8 teams. I think it's nice if you supplement what I'm doing, meaning you be the true source. You be the guy they go to during coaching and say, Rob said to do this. How do we do that? That's great. But for you to try and change 8 teams or 5 teams' lives or whatever, 8 teams, that's crazy. You don't have time. And, you know, I've got, you know, I do this for a living every day, 6 times a day. So, I mean, I've got the answers. And you'll be doing
it. I'm not looking for this job, Rob. I'm not looking for this job.
No kidding. No, that's called going into management, you know.
That's a great point. And
right.
Rob, just to make you feel so good about what you've done, when Sean and I first started together 20-plus years ago, I had just, you know, wasn't that far out of Morgan Stanley's training program. And I don't know if you ever read Leroy Gross's The Art of Selling Intangibles or not, but rule number one, hate every other advisor in your office.
Oh God!
So that's where you brought us from. And by the way, Rob, that is in print. That is the book that Joe DeSetti at Morgan Stanley said y'all have to buy this book and read it. We all wandered down to the bookstore that day and bought it and read it.
Oh God! Isn't that awful?
It's crazy. I mean, it's just where
we come from. That's the world of scarcity. See, that's the world of, you know, if he has a client, I don't have him. You know, there's only so many clients. There's only so much money. I must screw him in order to get his business, you know.
That's verbatim. It's hard to believe that anybody would ever be so maladjusted as to believe something like that, isn't it?
Oh, God. It's so sad. But thanks, John. I appreciate that. But thanks for the update. Let me ask you, the 35 and 38%, is that annuitized business transition? Is that assets that's coming in, or is that new clients? What's driving the big increase?
Yes, it's primarily assets. I mean, we brought in one or two new clients all last year. It's clients, adding to their existing portfolios, or, you know, candidly, as you said, it's annuitizing the book. It's repositioning certain assets that, you know, were for whatever reason, either just, you know, dead on the books, and positioning those into meaningful conversations where clients are engaged. And it's rewarding. 90% of that business is repeatable every single month.
That's great. That's wonderful.
And Sean, if I may, you do the accounting in a much more conservative manner than I do, but when I looked at it last, the pipeline so far in 2018 of AUMs you think we're going to get is kind of minimally $15 million, and it could get as high as 20 to 25, did you say?
Yeah. Just in conversation.
See, that's the part that will make your management team go insane. they say, well, we don't have the money. You know, we can't bring Rob in. He said, look, just the increase in our business would pay more for Rob five times over, right?
Well, it has.
Right.
You've already paid for yourself.
Right. So just tell them that. And, you know.
You're spot on. You're spot on, just to give you another little story. Here locally, we had a client who asked us to sponsor $5,000. They are in the impact business. So they're looking at, renewables, alternative types of energy, again, you're talking about changing the world. These are, a lot of private equity folks are in this space. They asked Wells Fargo, and, certainly given Wells Fargo being in the news, a little bit of positive press couldn't help. But they had an event held at a local wealth firm downtown. Wells reluctantly, gave $5,000 to be a sponsor of the event. It ended up resulting in the client's fiance giving a check for $100,000 while we were there, talking about transitioning the $2 million that he has coming due from private equity at Goldman Sachs over to us in the next 6 months. She gave us a phenomenal plug in front of, a room of 100 investors, saying how, Wells Fargo was my team. This was also while the market was going down, 10%. And they said, look, these guys are engaging in conversations with me, talking about what for us to buy, not for us to run for the hills. They're engaged. They have these, they go through the process of the 1242. She gave us a phenomenal commercial, and, locally they were apprehensive about, spending the $5,000. So I absolutely agree with you. I mean, I think that certainly would be short-sighted for someone to look at $10,000 and say this is not going to be impactful. And I think we can use, our first 2 months of this year and go through the spreadsheet that, I just passed into the team individually. I think that should enough tell the story as to why it's well worth an investment.
And also, guys, think about where you were as a team. Okay?
I prefer not to, it's all the same to you.
But I mean, seriously, there's been a lot of intangibles that we've resolved, in the restructuring, rebuilding, refocusing of, I love, the more the story can be, Amazing Grace, the better the story for the client. I mean, for the audience. And I hate to put you in that position, but frankly, the more it can be, we were once lost and now we're found, it makes it dramatic for the audience. And it's just, and you guys are passionate, you're dramatic and you're fun and, but I think you could put on one hell of a show, and I'd be just an afterthought compared to what you guys have to say about what you've done.
I doubt seriously that what we went through would be much of a surprise or secret to anybody. What do you guys think, Sean, Claudia? I think everybody was pretty tuned into what was going on.
Yeah.
If for better or worse.
Well, good for you. Anyway, I'd be delighted to do it. You know, usually they do those things, planning them out 3-6 months in advance, so that helps me in terms of my scheduling, but I think that, at this point, it would be fun. And, Sean, it would be a lot of fun to work with you on, on how to support them a little bit in the coaching process. And, frankly, if there's a manager that's really a good manager and a leader and a coach, that makes the game so much better. I can do it without them, but it helps if they're there and they're really involved.
I would say you're probably on your own.
Okay.
unless this new guy Marsh wants to, step up. I mean,
well, that's fair, Sean. That's a fair observation. Maybe that's a chance to test him to see is it just happy, glad hand, I'm the new guy in town, talk pretty? Or are we really going to do something?
Yeah, he just called the office and reached out, so we'll see.
Good, good. I'm coaching now a young manager in Coral Gables, and, it's amazing. He was, this past year, we've been coaching him for about a year. I coach him. I've coached 5 of his teams, and it's actually only been about 6 months, and he's moved up. He was number one, in his market, and then he's number 3 in the country, and the 5 teams are just doing spectacularly well. So it's been a lot of fun, but it's much more fun for me when I'm coaching the manager at the same time I'm coaching the team. So anyway, and it helps you guys a lot too. And he sits in on every call, by the way. That's how involved he is.
Wow.
That's how much he gets.
That's a commitment.
Yeah, every call. Not every call every day, but pretty much. He knows every team, what exactly they're doing and how they're doing. And I went back 6 months later. So you really want to do it right? Do a kickoff, sign up 5 teams. Let me come back 6 months later. Have the teams present. They get up and give a testimonial like you are. You'll turn the whole office around. You'll get another 5 teams sign up the second time. You'll have a supernova office. It's a blast.
Which would do nothing but help the local reputation and help, the better the reputation of the firm is, the easier it is
right.
to do business in the market.
Right. And what a good time to do it, right? What a perfect time. No, seriously. Look, you guys have been in the...
I agree.
Yeah.
And then I gotta believe that based on how much money we're spending with lawyers right now, $10,000's a drop in the bucket.
Right, right. And that could be an action plan, right? This is our local action plan for improving the client experience. We're gonna spend some money on and bring in a coach and have them coach some teams and then bring them back and stand up and all the, and people know that I'm coming back and there's gonna be another meeting, they do a lot better.
Exactly. It's not just a flash in the pan.
Right. It isn't just, the new blue tier, the new, whatever, Matt Oxley or whatever they're bringing in, it's something that's going to stick, right? Okay. Well, thanks, guys. I look forward to it. If I can be of any help or be on a call with you, I'm happy to do that with the manager. So just set that up with Cindy and we'll be doing it, okay?
All right, Rob. Thanks for your time. Have a good March. Talk to you soon.
Yeah. Congratulations, by the way. Way to kill it. That's awesome. Very proud of you.
Oh, hey, Rob, 2 other items. The firm finally dummied up, and they made Sean a first vice president, so they've moved him up 2 positions in the last 2 years. And last week, Claudia passed her SEMA exam.
Oh, wow. Congratulations to both of you.
Wait a minute. And just to keep things consistent, Michael hasn't done anything.
I came in today, so.
Oh, what I heard. Make sure he gets a Starbucks card for that.
Yeah. Here's your Friday too. I'll give him first.
Okay, good deal.
All right, guys. All right.
Thanks.
Talk to you soon.
Have a good day.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Rob. Bye now.
He's turning off on the day. I don't know where I put my headset holder, my little pop bud.
What's the report, Jen?
and just based upon some of the experience here, I'm not 100% confident.
Your time on hold without the host has expired. Please confirm the scheduled time and conference code, then try again. Thank you and goodbye.